You take your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. The Gospel of John, chapter number 20. The Lord has sent me in a direction that I have never even considered, but He has helped my heart so tremendously with this in the past couple of weeks. And my prayer is this morning He'll just let it come to my lips what's in my heart. I know that never seems to quite get out exactly like it's in, but I pray He'll help us in a special way this morning. I want to just read the first verse of John chapter number 20. I tell you what, I think we'll just read on down about verse number 11. John chapter 20, verse number 1 says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre." Sound like a little bit of humble bragging there by John to me. He said, the one that Jesus loved, he outran Peter to the sepulchre. And then verse number 5 said, "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in." It sounds like Peter, don't it? Verse 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went right into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." There is significance to that. We won't have time to look at it. Verse 8, "Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." I'm going to stop reading there for the sake of time. I just pray that the Lord will help us in a special way this morning. I want to look at a phrase that we find in verse number 1. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early." And then it goes on to say this phrase, "when it was yet dark." I want to preach for just a few moments this morning, if the Lord will just help us, on when it was yet dark. There's a lot, I mean, really across this country this morning that are having sunrise services. I don't have any problem with sunrise services. I've preached them. I've been to them. I enjoy them. But there is a reality in this Scripture that when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, the Scripture just uses this phrase, "when it was yet dark." And I want to notice, first of all, about this day of the resurrection and about this phrase, "when it was yet dark." It was a dark time for really everybody that had any association with Christ. When it was yet dark, first of all, there was deep agony. How do you know there was deep agony? Well, Mary Magdalene, in verse number 11, it says she was weeping. And the word in behind that is translated into weeping, it is the idea of to cry aloud and wail out of agony, out of deep agony of the soul. So when Mary Magdalene comes here this morning and she comes early, she's not coming with giddiness, hoping that the stone's going to be rolled away, because they didn't understand everything that was to befall the Lord Jesus. They did not understand everything that He had said He would do. They didn't understand all of that. All they knew is they had watched Him die on Calvary's tree, and they had come now for 3 days straight to a tomb where His body had been laid. And now they come on this third day, and all she can think is somebody has stolen away the body of our Lord. And in her agony, in everything that she's going through, she faces deep agony of the soul, because there is not only the darkness of the tomb, but there is just the darkness of the situation that befalls them. There's the darkness of the morning. And as I even read and studied some of this, I went out last night about 11 o'clock and just sat outside where it was dark just to try to get a better understanding. But the reality is, we don't even know darkness around here. I could see lights from the neighbors. I could see a matter of fact, even in our homes, we have a coffee maker that will almost lighten up our whole dining room. I mean, you can see your way through the house just because of the LED lights that come off of every electronic you've got anywhere around. We don't even hardly know what dark is. But she comes this morning to the tomb, and it is a scene of darkness. It is a dark hour in the life of the disciples. It's a dark hour for all those who were surrounding. And I believe the best picture that we find of this anywhere in Scripture is found in the book of Exodus. And it is Exodus chapter number 10, where the ninth plague is laid out before them. And Moses simply says it's going to be a plague of darkness. And that darkness, Scripture said, was a darkness that could be felt. Now, I don't believe you could reach out necessarily and grab a hold of the darkness. I don't think that's what it was talking about. But I believe it was a darkness that just put a weight upon all of those who were in attendance. The Bible tells us in Exodus that it was darkness that was so great that they did not even go out for 3 days to see one another. They did not even get out of their house. They stayed all by themselves for 3 days during that period of darkness. As I thought about the deep agony of when it is yet dark, the reality is, you and I sometimes get ourselves in situations that are just as dire and just as dark, and we find ourselves in places. Have you ever got into a situation where your surroundings and everything about your life was so dark that you just wanted to stay at the house? You didn't even want to, the reality is, even if you went to work, even if you went around people, you were almost in a fog, as if there was darkness that was hanging around your existence, and you didn't even really understand everything that was going on. That's exactly where Mary Magdalene is at. She is in a place of deep agony because of the darkness. And I lay that foundation and that background because when it is yet dark, there is deep agony. But you know, I thought about even not just situational agony, not just situational darkness, but think about the darkness of your soul when you're lost. There's individuals here this morning, you do not know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reality is, everywhere you go in life, you are under a cloud of darkness. And darkness just follows you wherever you go. It's where Mary Magdalene seems to be as she comes to the tomb there that morning. But as the backdrop is darkness, as the backdrop is deep agony, I want to notice secondly, and I love this, there is divine activity taking place when it is yet dark. And I thought about darkness. What in the world does darkness even stand for in Scripture? I've thought so much in this past week or 2 weeks about what our Lord Himself accomplished in darkness. Now, John tells us that He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, and that's true. He possesses no darkness about Himself, but the psalmist tells us that the light and the dark are alike to Him. He can work just as well in light as He can in dark, and He can work just as well in dark as He can in light. I don't know about you, but you turn the lights off on me and I'm just liable to break my nose or break my arm walking across my house, especially if the girls have left a book bag laying right in the middle of the living room. I've done it several times. But thank God, with the backdrop of darkness upon this scene, we see divine activity. But there's some things we have to note about darkness. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, 18, it says that darkness is to Satan what light is to Christ. Darkness is the domain, if you will, of Satan. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, when it talks about us fighting against principalities and power, it says, it goes on to say, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Darkness, talking about Satan and the darkness of this world. In Colossians 1:12, it tells us that we are redeemed from the kingdom and the power of darkness. When we hear about a place called hell, Scripture says it is a place made for Satan, and it is a place of outer darkness. Every time we hear of darkness, it is lined up with Satan and what he wants to do with humanity. The reality is Satan always works under the cover of darkness. When you hear about evil activities taking place, oftentimes they happen under the cover of darkness. No wonder my mom and daddy gave me a curfew that seemed way earlier than I thought it ought to be. Because they understood that when the light of the sun went down, Satan began all kind of activity. I've read so much about why our Lord began working while it was dark. Many writers had so many things to say about it, and I just don't believe many of them are true. Some of them said he did it to veil, as a covering over the activity that he was doing. He did some of that with the parables. I do not believe that's why he's doing what he's doing here. I simply believe, I don't know how your high school did it, but when I was in high school, when it came time for homecoming on our home field, when we were just displaying everything we had to display, we wanted a team to come in to play us that we could whoop. I don't know how y'all's did it, but and it took some crazy scheduling sometimes to make it happen at our school. Many times it didn't happen. We got beat by the school that was coming in. I'm going to tell you what I believe that's happening here in the darkness is that our Lord is taking what seems to be the devil's domain, what seems to be what he has a hold on, what seems to be his strong area, if I could put it this way, what seems to be his home field advantage. I believe our Lord just steps into the darkness and said, I believe I'll just whoop you on your own ground. If you don't believe it, you look all the way through Scripture. I never had seen this. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, he created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. When our Lord created, he created in darkness. And then we find Adam and Eve fell, and they plunged humanity into outer darkness. Our Lord could have chosen however many ways to accomplish whatever he wanted to do, but he chose to come out of the portals of glory and to walk among this world in the middle of darkness. He came to this dark and sinful world, but not only that, he marched to Calvary's cross. They took him to Calvary. They nailed him to the cross. And as he is dying there, right in the middle of the day, it is noon. The Bible tells us it is the sixth hour, which is right in the middle of the day, noon, high noon. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark and in the book of Matthew both as well, it says, and there was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, right in the middle of the day. Our Lord takes and turns the light off. The sun could not shine. There was complete and total darkness. Why? I believe he just told the devil, while I'm right in the middle of your home field, right in the middle of your domain. And our Lord took and turned the lights off. And at the end it says, and at the ninth hour, he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. Everything that he came to accomplish, He accomplished on Calvary's cross, and thank God he did it while the lights were off, while Satan thought he was having him a party, while he thought he was having him a time. Our Lord was in control even in the middle of the darkness. But not only that, you take it 3 days later. He's been in the tomb for 3 days. They come, and the scripture says, when it was yet dark. And what did she find when she got there? The stone was already rolled away. Thank God. That tells me that he conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. When it was yet dark. I told you, I don't mind a sunrise service. I'll preach at one. I'll go to one. I'll eat breakfast at one. It don't all matter to me. But I'm going to tell you what. The Lord accomplished what he accomplished when it was yet dark. And you say, why is that blessing you so much? Because thank God not only did he do all that, but he called you and I. In 1 Peter it tells us, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and it says he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I thank God this morning that he is divinely active right in the middle of our darkness. I tell you, you might be here this morning, you might be walking in darkness, but I'm so glad that our Lord has defeated darkness. He's defeated the devil. He's defeated everything, thank God, that could take us into outer darkness, and I'm glad he will simply call upon your name and it'll take care of everything that you need, whatever the darkness may be that's in your soul. Because I want you to look, lastly, I love this. I want you to notice, not only do we see the deep agony, because if you've ever been in darkness, there is deep agony. No wonder Mary Magdalene was weeping. But thank God for the divine activity. And then we see the drawing affection. She's not drawing toward him, but thank God he sure is drawing toward her. I thank God for that this morning. And you say, what's so important about Mary Magdalene? Why in the world would she be the first one that the Lord comes up and reveals himself to? In the book of Matthew and in Mark, the Bible tells us that the Lord had cast out 7 devils from Mary Magdalene. And I thought about that, and you think what God has done for you. You think about when he came to where you were. You think about his divine activity right in the middle of your darkness, and the fact that he would draw close to us in our time of need. I don't know what that does for you, but it makes me want to get on my face before God and just thank him one more time, because the Bible tells us in verse number 11, Mary stood without at the sepulcher. What was she doing? It says she was weeping. And as she wept, right in the middle of her darkness, she stooped down, looked into the sepulcher, and she saw 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. I like that past tense. It says, and they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had said thus, she turned herself and saw, listen at this, she saw Jesus standing, but knew not that it was Jesus. There's a lot of you this morning. You've walked in darkness. The Master is very close by, but you hadn't even realized. You've not even thought about the fact that it was him. Mary looked at him right in the middle of weeping, right in the middle of agony, and she saw the Lord Jesus himself. But I like business starts picking up here in just a minute. Knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15, listen at this. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Then Jesus said unto her, verse 16, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I'm glad for his drawing affection. When he sees that you are in darkness, you know what he'll do? Just come right up next to where you're at. And you can insert your name in verse number 16, because you know what he does when he sees Tony in need? He comes up and says, Tony. You know what he does when he sees Michael in need? He comes up and says, Michael. You know what he does when he sees Jonathan in need? He comes up and says, amen. Jonathan. Amen. You know what he does when he sees Dallas in need? He comes up and he says, Dallas. Amen. You know what he does when he sees Greg in need? He comes up and he says, Greg. Amen. I thank God that one day I heard him call my name. Amen. When I was right in the middle of darkness. And I'm so glad this morning that wherever you find yourself, however dark the situation may seem, thank God all it takes is him coming up to where you are and calling your name, and it'll take care of 1,000 problems at one time. It might be that you're in the middle of darkness of sin. I thank God this morning all he's got to do is call your name, and it'll take care of all the sin that's in your life. It might be that you're in the darkness of a situation of life. All he's got to do is come to you and call your name, and it'll take care of whatever's going on in your life. I don't know what it is you're facing this morning, but thank God when it was yet dark, our Lord sure was active here at the tomb. And I thank God when it is yet dark in your life and in mine, thank God he is still active as well as we all stand. I don't know who's under the sound of my voice this morning, but it could be that you are in a place of darkness. It could be that you are in a situation of darkness. It could be that darkness has gripped your very soul. You've never even been saved. I'm so glad this morning that whatever the dark hour of our life is, when it's yet dark, I'm so thankful this morning that our divine Savior is active. He's doing whatever it is that needs to be done in your life. I thought even about old Job. There Job was. And everybody wants to talk about everything that Job lost. But I'm going to tell you what, Job gained more than he ever lost. And there was a battlefield between God and Satan. And old Job found himself on the human side of the battlefield. And in the end, when everybody was questioning God, our Lord stepped on the scene and simply told Job, right in the middle of your dark hour, I was active. And I love what Job said in the end of that chapter. He said, Oh God, I'd heard of you. I'd heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. It could be that in your darkness you've heard about him, but the blinders have been across your eyes and you just never really had seen him. I'm glad when he speaks your name, he pulls the blinders off at the same time and allows you to see him face to face while we sing this song.